steps, this far from a mess, staying up on...
Hey, all right.
Really? No, yeah. Say, no nothing?
We got no nothing on this. Come on.
Shoegazers for 10 seconds and then boom. Podcast.
Shoegazers.
We're trying to just all yell Oscars at the same time.
Yeah.
I was off.
Yeah.
Oh, we could do that. We could re-record it.
Nope.
Really?
Going.
No. 30 minutes you just took?
Hello, welcome to the Comedy Film Nerd Special Oscar Wrap-Up. I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini.
And our first ever returning guest of the podcast, Mr. Mike Schmidt.
Hi, everybody.
Mike Schmidt from the podcast 40-Year-Old Boy.
A favorite on iTunes.
Definitely a favorite on iTunes. So here we are, gentlemen. First thoughts, Mike Schmidt. First thoughts, overall thoughts on the Oscars before we get into specific winners.
On the telecast or on is that what you're looking for thoughts on?
Sure.
Or the whole genre the of whole, Oscar.
That's what I'm saying. Birth of a Nation, certainly. Yeah. I don't know. I quite frankly, I'm interested to see what's going to happen because they always kick Jon Stewart in the balls and they let Letterman have it and they're always never happy. Chris Rock, everybody's upset.
Right.
And Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin are Hollywood. They're very Hollywood, so they're entrenched. And I'm interested to see if they're going to criticize them as much as they need to be criticized because that was grim. And I don't want to be a snark guy who like vomits snark all over the place, but I did not. I didn't find it funny or interesting.
I will say the Paranormal Activity.
I agree.
Parody I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, I like them cutting to them in snuggies. I thought that was funny.
Uh-huh.
And I thought they were... I thought
so
they,
all the scenes where they weren't talking.
Well, they started really, really stiff. I thought it got better as the show went on because honestly, what I felt like at first was they were trying to adapt to playing a giant theater where there's huge laughs and that's what they're going off of, not the audio that we're hearing at home. So I thought they were
hitting the back row. Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They were hitting the back row, which I get, you know. I mean, you're in a big theater. You can't just... Because if you just start firing off one-liners that are good for the home audience, then you lose the laughter of the theater crowd, which you need.
Because they clearly came to laugh. That crowd.
I think Steve Martin was good when he came in and said... what was it after who won? He said, he made some funny ad lib. Now I'm completely blanking on it. Where he's like, somebody gave some heartfelt speech and goes,
I wrote that for him.
Yeah, I wrote that for him.
That was the guy from Precious.
Yeah, it was funny. Well, they were funniest when they were ad libbing, when they were not reading the scripted lines.
I just think I like both these guys. I'll go see Alec. I mean, we talked about this. I think we reviewed It's Complicated on the episode you were on. And we all said, you know, we'd see Alec Baldwin, you know, go eat pudding.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
I'm a fan, and I like Steve Martin too.
Steve Martin too.
I don't know that
really
I don't know that the together thing. I don't know where.
But do you need two hosts?
No, I don't think you do.
I don't think you do either. I mean, the weird thing is everyone always compares any host to like Billy Crystal. It's so weird. It's like, okay, well, were they as good as Billy Crystal? Were they worse as Billy Crystal? Or are they as funny? And it's like, well, stop comparing it to Billy Crystal. Just let's get a new voice in there and just do the Oscars.
I mean, I love it. I love it when Jon Stewart's done it. I like
when Letterman did it, too.
Yeah, he just pissed
so
everyone off.
Much. But it's, again, we've talked about it. Hollywood, they're not a crowd that's going to laugh at themselves. So, I mean, Letterman's going to come in and you know, set fire to the place and kind of make fun of them and make fun of what they do. They want nothing to do with that. This is a night to jerk off each other.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
So they don't want to be poked fun at all on their turf. Forget it.
You'd be the craziest host?
Who?
Quentin Tarantino. If he hosted the Oscars next year, ratings through the roof? As well as craziness.
And he's a madman. I love his film. Not a great interview.
He would do like one of those pink things at the Grammys. He would come down in like an outfit and get wet and like sing.
First of all, let's all leave my boyfriend alone. Yeah. Second of all, you say not a good interview on Charlie Rose. He's brilliant. When he sits there and he's calm and he's talking for a half hour.
But I think that's a testament to Charlie Rose. I think Charlie Rose in that environment, I mean, literally you're probably on a set. I mean, I've never been there obviously, but you're probably on a set with Charlie, two, three camera guys, and that's it.
And black crepe ribbon.
Exactly.
It's like the Moominshan set.
Yep, there's no ninjas.
There's no ninjas either. But I think that's why Charlie Rose brings out a good interview.
And I also think he has 30 minutes to talk.
Yeah.
When he's trying to cram everything in 7 minutes,
no.
Tarantino, he slips into that Hepcat thing and he puts on his Kangol and he acts like a dick.
And Charlie Rose drugs the guest water.
Oh, good.
So,
yeah.
I like that.
He settles everything.
So
should we talk about the Oscars?
No, what's that? Let's talk about Charlie Rose. Let's go on more. How about the Bears picking up some good free agent picks? Mike and I were all excited about that. Let's talk about the Oscars. I
upset.
Huge upset. I mean, we got to talk about that. I thought Hurt Locker was going to get shunned across the board.
Really?
I don't think it would get shunned across the board. I didn't think it'd get Best Picture, but I thought it would get Best Director.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought maybe they'd give it to Lee Daniels, but I honestly thought it might just be Avatar's Night to Shine. I thought it was going to be that. But
see, everything I read said Hurt Locker was going to stomp, and because it had won everything else,
mm-hmm.
and it was unstoppable, the momentum on it to come in. And people think Avatar had won by getting box office. Everybody's like, well, Avatar won its Oscars in gold. You know what I mean? It's taken home so much money, there's no reason to reward it with more. I really think that feeling was prevailing.
Well, I think, too, it was the Academy voters. I'm like, you know what? We're kind of sick of James Cameron. And yeah. He's kind of a tool, and let's do some revenge punishment votes.
But that's weak. And, if that was the case, though, I mean, who isn't a fucking tool? I mean, seriously, in Hollywood.
True. But, you know, you got to really factor in pettiness into any Hollywood decision.
I mean, we're three tools. I mean, let's make this work.
Exactly. That's my point. We're making fun of people eminently richer and more famous than us. And we just did it for 4 hours with our thumbs. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Live tweet.
I hope you liked our live tweets, folks. Oh, they were outstanding.
Take that, millionaires.
Yeah, three nobodies with iPhones are in your face.
That'll learn you. Make better movies.
Yeah. Now, instead of doing this in Chris's garage, we're in my mom's basement.
Yeah. We've taken the show on the road to Graham's house.
To Graham's house.
Beautiful. And your mom just went out to get ice cream.
Yeah, her and my wife went out to get ice cream. Yeah. So it's been exciting.
Because my mom walked into the podcast
on
the last one. And you know what she said to me that was really funny? She goes, well, you guys should just get one of those flashing lights that says on the air.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know what? You're right. Because, you know, she walked in and saw, you know, three people talking into a computer like lunatics. What could you possibly be doing?
Do we really need a red light?
Yeah.
I mean, really, in your garage in the valley?
Yes, we absolutely do.
How about we just hit stop on the, and we just cut it out? Because this isn't live. A red light is for live broadcasts.
I say you just go straight Beach Boys and convert the whole garage into some, like, crazy studio palace where you got, and you just never leave it. You're in there just constantly creating stuff. I love it. I think it's a good plan.
That's what we're going to do. We're moving in. That's
your goal.
Oh, and for the record, no, I don't live in my mom's garage. She was visiting.
Whatever. All right, buddy. You tell people.
With my entire family.
You and your two children live in your mom's garage. I smell sitcom. Yeah. Great Oscar conversation, by the way, thus far. We've really broken it down.
Well, everything I had heard Hurt Locker was going to stomp. I mean, I fully expected it.
See, I thought it would win Best Director. I wasn't sure about anything else.
Here's the thing. A lot of times, I always get leery when it's like, it's cleaning up at the SAG and the Golden Globes. Because like, Oscars a lot of times throw curveballs at you.
Yeah. You know, the ensemble cast of Inglourious Bastards won at SAG. And that made everybody go, hey, Inglourious Bastards, people like it. It made money. This is going to win the Oscar. Like, people freaked out. And they got their asses kicked. They won the one they were supposed to win and nothing else.
Nothing else.
Not even technical stuff or smaller awards. It got routed. It was brutal.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I liked Inglourious Basterds. I mean, I know you're a huge, crazy fan. I'll go see anything Quentin Tarantino does, and I will see this movie again, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot. Any of the scenes with Waltz, I'm going to be like, that guy's amazing.
You know what I mean? He really shone in the film, and you weren't expecting it. That's what was so great about it. When you're watching the movie, I'm like, I don't really know anything about this guy, and he's stealing the movie. Yeah.
But as a film, I still wanted to see more of actually what they said the movie was going to be. I wanted to see just more just tear-assing around, you know, getting German scalps.
Blame the trailer editors.
Yeah.
I just saw that yesterday on ABC News because it's Hollywood. And this
blame
is
the trailer editors? Is that a new?
No, absolutely right. They're talking about how they give away everything in the trailers. Now, because they showed, like, the Psycho trailer and there's nothing in it. And they go and compare that to this trailer and they show you everything.
Yeah.
Right.
And they said that Robert Zemeckis was quoted as saying, people don't want to be surprised anymore. That's why trailers show you everything, because they basically decided, nah, we need to show people the whole movie to get them in the door.
Yeah, people don't want to be surprised by him.
Bobby's like,
unless he announces retirement. Yeah. Surprising and welcome.
Yeah, Zemeckis, you're wrong, because you're right with your own shitty films.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this before the Oscars started. I mean, we had this discussion with Stephanie on our last podcast, or maybe it was Jonathan, I can't remember, about certain movies that we thought maybe it was going to be better than it was because maybe it's got a bad trailer. And what movie were we talking about with that?
Oh, we were talking about Sherlock Holmes, for one.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes.
It was a terrible trailer, but I enjoyed the movie.
Right. And then there was a movie that actually ended up being horrible that I thought maybe that
Legion.
Shutter Island. I thought Shutter Island was actually going to be better than it was because I thought, oh, they just made, because the trailer makes it look dumb in my opinion.
I agree.
And I saw it and it's dumb.
Truth in advertising.
And we were talking about, Mike and I were talking about Digstown, actually, which as a really horrible trailer that was a great film. Anyway, staying on Oscar topics. I'll say this. My overall, I was amazed with Hurt Locker that it kept winning. I'm glad that it did. I know Lucas Lundsman, our Iraq soldier that really doesn't like that movie, and we brought it up last time, and I got a great email from him. Lucas, here's why the Hurt Locker winning is good, as I said in the last podcast and in my email to you. It'll help Americans understand what you guys are actually going through and maybe make people realize that we are actually at a war in two different countries right now. Because, I mean, the last 4 or 5 years, I travel around this country and people are just like, oh, that's so neat you went over there. Like, what's Iran like? Like, we're not in war. Like, a large portion of America it has no clue that we're at war, two different wars.
Well, do you maybe think, maybe you go the other way, and you wonder if maybe this hurts the cause, because people go, oh, that fake war movie won 2 Oscars. Like, a movie about a fake war. Like, they maybe associate it now with a work of fiction rather than with an actual thing that's happening.
Well, then
I hope not.
Well, then this country, I mean, if people are that dumb, then Elvis is alive. And but I mean, I guess there's people out there. There's no global warming. Yeah, the earth is flat. Go for it, Glenn Beck.
Yeah, let's go see the Christmas sweater again.
But honestly, I think we talked about it last episode. I get any soldier who's like, technically and tactically that movie was incorrect, which is fine. But as a dramatic piece to people who aren't soldiers and don't know the tactical side of defusing a bomb, the emotional side, I think it can help. And I'm sure there's a lot, because it didn't have that wide of a release. Plus, it came out last summer. So now that it's won, hopefully they'll put it back in the theaters or people will rent it or whatever and watch it and try to gain some sort of understanding.
Oh, that's one of the purposes of the Academy Awards is to fuel all new marketing campaigns for all these movies. So that's a good thing. I mean, I think more people will see it.
I mean, honestly, like Slumdog Millionaire.
Maybe less people will see Avatar now.
I hope. I mean, I'd rather...
if less people go, they don't deduct money from what it's made already, right? You can't take money that's already been paid away.
I'm getting a petition circulated.
And then I want to say, like, it's not Sandra Bullock's fault, and I thought she did a decent job in The Blind Side, but I don't know how anyone can see Blind Side and Precious and go, yeah, I go Bullock. I don't know how
you... Oh, you know what it was, and we made this point before, is that it wasn't really for that movie. It was for her body of work. Finally, you got to this point. We're kind of rewarding.
But no, that applies to Jeff Bridges, because he's done so... But Sandra Bullock, I mean...
Demolition Man.
Point well, geniality
point well taken.
Yeah. No, I think
28
she even,
days alone or sober or whatever that one.
I think she even acknowledged it in her speech. She's like, well, I just kind of wore you down, you know. And it was really because she's done, you know, for every bad movie she's done one okay movie.
But she's
for every 4 bad movies she's done, she's one. Okay
and I don't dislike her, and I find what she does, and I love her attitude. I mean, the fact that she went to the Razzies, I think love. I mean, there's so few actors that have that sense of humor, like Mike was talking about at the top of the show. And again, I'm not mad at her, and she put a lot of work into that role.
So you don't think she should have won?
I do not think she should have won. Like that what that girl Gabby did, and like, I mean, obviously, they always do this to young people. Like, oh, it's their first time.
They'll be back.
Right, they did it to Jeff Bridges, 40 years ago. Yeah. You know, and he had to wait a long time.
But he's back.
There
you go. It proves that they're right.
You buckle up, Gabby. We'll see you.
The next generation of Academy voters comes along.
Yeah. And when you're squeezing out Precious 4 in 2026.
2037, Gabby wins it. I mean, I thought Sandra Bullock had... the least strongest of all of the nominees in that category, and Gabby just and by the way, I'm sorry that I've been mispronouncing her name on this podcast for the last 2 months. I've been calling her Sadibe, and now they're saying it's
Sidibe,
right?
Sidibe.
We love Gabby.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's in a limo right now listening to this. Damn it!
Graham's pronouncing her name Raven Simone.
Oh, come on now.
That's so Graham.
Mikey Schmidt, everybody. 40-year-old boy. Check it out. New website coming soon. So what other thoughts about some of the winners, Mike?
Well, Catherine Bigelow deserved to win, obviously. Yes. It's, you know, the big awards that we're talking about. I'm glad Precious won screenplay. I mean, that was, you know, because they needed to do that.
Adapted.
Monique. Mm-hmm. Monique, of course. She was amazing. In the
but
film.
Again, that was one of those things where you... it's funny, my wife and I did a little pool here while we were sitting here, and you know, the big awards, there was no drama in there at all. You knew Bridges, you knew Bullock.
No, that's
I
true.
Knew Hurt Locker. And, yeah. And
even supporting female.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Monique and Vaults. I mean, the top five were locks.
Yeah.
So there's, and that's another thing that hurts the telecast, because there's really nothing up in the air about what's going to happen. Picture, maybe Avatar and Hurt Locker, but the major acting awards were already clinched, so there's nothing there for anybody to sit there and pay attention to.
No surprise on the Pixar Animation Award,
exactly.
Either.
Right.
You know, I mean, so that's, they're in trouble. Not really, I mean, I'm sure they get their viewers and stuff. Like, I'm talking again about the telecast, but... you know, it's funny that this year they were trying to find a way to repackage it. And we're going to, you're going to come at it in a fresher way. And you open with that dance number with Neil Patrick Harris.
Why
and
was
fan
he there?
Dancers. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know why they thought that freshened it up.
It's not even, like, had this been on CBS, I'd go, okay, they're trying to jam, you know, How I Met Your Mother down our throats.
Right.
But I don't...
They went, oh, everybody likes him. He's good on the other award shows. Let's get him and get some immediate goodwill. But it made
no
sense.
That's probably what
they
were
thinking. He's a funny TV guy. The Grammys is a whole different ballgame. And the Grammys know their TV. They know their fast food. And they don't try to act any different than that, which is what makes them great. They have a comedy category, which the Oscars should get.
I just love when they pretend, like, because it was the self-deprecating, you know, why am I here? You know, and he's singing about why he is there. And that, to them, that's incredibly funny, to be self-deprecating about a star who's, like, making fun of himself. But, you know, nobody fucking cares about inside baseball. You know, just give away awards and don't have production numbers. How do you cut the songs and then put that in there?
That's what blows me away. It's like cutting the songs. You're like, oh, great. And it was like 8:20, and we were like, wow, the show's almost over.
Yeah,
no.
No. And then, wait, now another crazy dance number with a slide.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
what?
Then a five-headed blowjob for the acting category.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that was brutal.
And it went on forever. Yeah. You know, good start with the timing, and then, like, okay, well, we're only going to really try to get the first half shorter. Then we're going to try to, you know, backload the rest of the time.
And I'm a guy who, I don't begrudge them that whatsoever, because, again, they do this is their once-a-year time to you know, have a goddamn daisy chain for each other, and that's fine. But then don't complain when the ratings are down or we're going to repackage and all this fucking hypey bullshit. That's crazy. It makes no sense.
Right. What are you showing me, Tony Diamond?
Yeah,
what was your big show-stopping, show me your BlackBerry?
Contribution?
Yeah.
You said the Grammys. Did you mean the Emmys?
Whatever. Thanks. yeah, the Emmys. Neil Patrick Harris on the Emmys.
I don't know if you... a little.
Everything would actually apply to the Grammys, too, because they have a comedy category,
right.
Spoken word.
A little behind the scenes on Comedy Film Nerds podcast, they've hired an ombudsman. Tony Diamond's here, and he's going to catch errors on the fly and correct them. You might hear a little downtime, a little stoppage, but trust us, it's for the better.
Yeah, we all stop talking, and there's dead silence. That's Tony's coming up with some gem on
and demand that Tony correct you.
Yeah.
It's because Graham kept mispronouncing Sibide, so they're like, we got to get an ombudsman in here.
Yeah.
And certainly to sit in judgment, he's got his white wig on, he's got his gavel. Good for him.
Tony Diamond, by the way, go to his YouTube channel, 50 Greatest. Outstanding. YouTube, funny, couple of sketches on there. I'm in them.
that are nominated for online Emmys.
Yes.
Online Grammys.
Yeah. So really, like you were saying, no surprises, best actor, best actress.
I really want to talk more about what Mike was bringing up about the overall, like, and
the
this,
telecast.
The overall telecast, and this is the Oscars problem, the Academy's problem, is they're such, like, an old money country club version of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, they're not on the internet. They're not on, they're not on, they're still... in that this will be box office gold.
Yeah. And it's like, it's Judge Smales. I mean, it's like, you know, they're those guys, oh, excuse me. They're hoi polloi and they're all nose in the air. And it's crazy. They just think.
You're not going to make it more relevant until you just completely change it.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And 10, 15 years ago, I would like it sometimes. Like one time when Whoopi Goldberg hosted and her whole thing was, hey, look, it's long. It's an inside. It's an insider's party. Just enjoy
it. Go with it.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, if you're going to take that attitude, fine. But now they've been getting their ass kicked, and they're trying to revamp. But they're
whenever they're putting
sport rims on an old man's cap. Right. You know what I mean? Is what
exactly.
they're doing. They're putting.
Yeah.
Well, whenever somebody tries to revamp it or and make it more relevant, they get angry and like, oh, it was terrible.
Well, they cut the Sacha Baron Cohen sketch from today's show. They cut that because they were like, oh, we don't want to upset Cameron or we don't want to upset people. And of course, then they leak it to make Cameron look like an asshole instead of saying we don't have the balls to go through with it. We're worried Cameron might get upset. And he comes out and he goes, hey, I don't care. Make fun of me. That's fine.
What, did they just put it on the internet?
Yeah, it was at Nikki Fink at Deadline and stuff like that. Okay. Inside sources leaking stuff.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's like Cameron, he doesn't care what you possibly say here about him or his sketches. He doesn't. What does he care?
He can do whatever he wants.
He's going to make a movie every 10 years, and it's going to be the biggest grossing movie
And between those 10 years, he's going to go inside Mars or underneath the ocean.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Find
some
creatures.
Kind of documentary.
What does he give a shit about?
Yeah, why wouldn't you if you're revamping?
Well, it's not going to be Last Train to Hiroshima after that. They found out that book was apparently a total lie that he was going to make a movie on. So,
Last Train to Hiroshima, they was going to be this big, and then they found out the whole book was like made up. And,
yeah.
So who takes the rap on that, Mickey Dolenz?
Wow. That's a Monkees reference.
Yeah.
For everybody in the early 20s.
That's the Last Train to Hiroshima, and I'll meet you at the bomb sites. All right.
Your children got turned into shadows.
That's going to have an email.
Sure. Why not? I hope so. But if you're going to revamp it, fucking revamp it. I mean, why not keep the song categories and hire the 5 biggest singers in the world to sing them? You know what I mean? Make star power the essence of what you're doing.
Right.
No offense. Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin, we're all 40.
We
love them. We grew up watching them.
Right.
Fucking 20-year-old people are just like, who's that? The fucking Pink Panther and the guy from 30 Rock? They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying you got to bring in fucking, you know, Rick, you know, Flo Rida to come in and bust it out. But I mean, look, like, when, how about when 3-6 Mafia was on?
Yeah, they were
like,
excited.
Oh, it was huge. Yeah, there was this huge feeling in the room. Everything changed.
What did John Stewart say? He goes, now that's how you accept an award.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was like, he's right. Because there's people that really appreciated winning, and it wasn't part of that old Hollywood club.
And that was so cool. And then, I don't get, like, they cut out the singing and then bring in the dance, the
interpretive dance,
the break dancer, community college breakdancing team.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it was really like, what was that? I didn't get that. Like, and I mean, I'm
the robot.
The robot.
Like, did they put down their own cardboard and collect change?
I mean, it's good to see the moment Sean's finally working.
Yeah, it's good. And I think they made a little money playing 3-card Monty between commercial breaks.
I don't know.
I didn't know rent was up for anything.
Well, you have to, someone's got to come in and say, you know, we're going, like, the two hosts, they're like trying, but they keep going half.
Yes.
Well, you see, either make it like you're going to go see, Sinatra in his 70s sing because it's Sinatra. Make it that.
Yes.
Like, I saw Sinatra at the Chicago Theater in 1993, and it was amazing. And just make it old school, classy, and just do it that way. And say this is what the show is. Or
take the handcuffs off.
Yeah, take the handcuffs off. You can't go. I mean, like, I'd love. I was talking to David Feldman a little bit because he wrote on the show. And he couldn't divulge anything because he signed a confidential. But now that's over, I'd love to really talk to him and say, hey, man, like, how much?
Why don't we have him on the next show?
Yeah, well, let's do it.
Find out how much
was killed. How much was killed? How much did they tell you? Nope, forget it.
Was he brought in? That's another thing, too. I was going to say, I was thinking of an idea where you have a team that's in charge of it every year.
Yeah.
Like, but you can't do that either because Valanche was basically the guy in charge of it every year, and it was fucking horrendous. I mean, still, you know, it's so funny because you mentioned Crystal, and they always compare it to Crystal. And we mentioned that tonight the funniest that Martin and Baldwin were when they were off the cuff.
Right.
The funniest thing Billy Crystal ever did was the Palance thing. I mean, the fact that he made it the running joke, and he's able to come back and
bits.
That's the strength. So, you know, maybe up top, if you're going to shoehorn in the crazy production number with that, then don't have the monologue. Those guys look so uncomfortable and stilted trying to do their monologue. The segues, you know, they look like me. Because I have no segues in my act.
Yeah.
That whole, George Clooney is here, ladies and gentlemen. Like that weird awkwardness and just throwing it to the crowd. And who's next? You know,
that would be great if it was the first telecast. Like, oh, look at all the stars here. Yes. Everyone knows there's stars.
You know what that is? You can go to TMZ and see all of these faces eating sandwiches. Yeah. No, they're mythologized.
No. It's,
well, it's honestly, it's that clinging to, we always do it this way. It's like late night talk shows that are like, gotta come out monologue, then desk piece, then why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to do that. You can change it.
And even the new talk shows are still that format.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And I think the shows that are starting to veer away from that are working. I'll say, like, I want to talk about that one guy. What did he win for short? And then that, like, woman who runs a nail salon in Long Island jumped in and interrupted him.
Yeah, no idea who.
What was the hell was? Like, who was she involved in?
I don't know. But he was he was talking, and then she's like, "Ah, I'm just going to talk now. I don't think this person is."
She
really
saw the
here.
Clock winding down because they only give those people probably 25 seconds or something, and she's like, "Now, where I want to thank."
Yeah.
She literally muscled him out of there.
She
like,
sure did.
And he let her. What a pussy.
Yeah.
Dude, throw an elbow for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Choke her out.
Telecast, sack up. And he had the Oscar.
Yeah.
Dude, you got a weapon. Bash her in the fucking skull. And finish your speech because you're never getting up there again.
Ever. And no one knows who you are.
Yeah. And now they do. You're the pussy who got shoved aside by fucking Mrs. Garrett. She should have walked out of there with a goddamn Oscar in her ass. That's what she should have done.
Why Mrs. Garrett?
Oh, dude.
Well, you know what happened in the parking lot.
Yeah, true.
Sorry if we're laughing too loud. We got an email from a fan, I believe, Peggy.
Don't apologize.
He's, no. Listen, we're going to get an apology here. Peggy, here's the thing. We only have one. We appreciate all your guys' comments. They've been really positive and awesome. And
we do read and listen to every single one of them. It's, you know, we're not like in some ivory tower. I mean, we're building one.
We're building one.
But we're,
and
we
it's
going
to
have,
it's going to have guns and a moat.
Yeah.
You listen to them? Do you mean, do people call you?
No, Chris is out of his mind. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, I hear the voices. I'm just saying.
You heard it too then. Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm not nuts. He's like, yeah, we do listen to them. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm just amazed Tony didn't hold up his BlackBerry.
You don't listen to anybody.
No, people email us WAV files. People complain.
Like, they're Jesus. Like, hear my voice? Yeah. This is how you should sound on your show. Record yourself like I'm recording this WAV file.
You just invited a bag of lunatics to send us WAV files. People,
no kidding.
No, we've gotten awesome emails and stuff on the message boards, which have been great. And this woman, Peggy, emailed and said, I love the show, but sometimes when you guys laugh, I listen to it on earphones and it blows it out. We tried to bring the sound on. I hope it worked. But one thing is we only have one microphone. And Peggy, a great way that you could actually help is to buy something on the site. Maybe we can buy some better equipment. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So really, it's kind of your fault.
Yeah. What do you say, Peggy? Bust out a credit card, get yourself over to PayPal, and get us some new gear.
Yeah.
Maybe every Christmas present, birthday present, everyone in your family for the next 6 months gets a little Film Nerd stamp on it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Then we can get a mixing board and a couple of mics instead of huddling around this softball that's put on a cue stick.
Yeah. This is brutal. I'm talking to a hostess snowball amidst, you know, snacks.
It's barely plugged into the computer.
It's barely plugged into my laptop that's 4 years old that the battery lasts for literally 36 seconds. So thanks for your comments.
Yeah.
Well, what else?
I don't know. Let's make fun of more millionaires after that.
Yeah, that'll show them.
Here's another thing a bunch of millionaire people who are never going to listen to this should do.
Jeff Bridges' speech was great.
I loved it.
Great. Yeah.
And again, he and Christoph Waltz have been winning everything, and their speeches have been different and great every single time, every award that they win. So awesome to watch.
I just love the old, like, hippie, hey man, you know, man, this man, you know, he must have said that 15 times.
Dude just wants his rug.
And that weird giggling. But and Monique's, I thought Monique's speech was perfect.
Yeah,
I
it was just, great. It was a great speech. Too.
Just, like, really on point and I don't want to say devastating, but very life-affirming and very to the point, I guess is the way to put it.
Well, it was good because, I mean, I've read interviews that doing that role, she had some repressed abuse memories that came out in playing this part. And so that right there, I give her hats off to. And she was, you know,
hats off to your former abuse.
No, I mean, we appreciate your abuse. It's been really great.
Hey, you were touched as a child? Tip of the hat to you. Fantastic.
Oh, Tony Diamond's now showing me photos of when he was abused.
Oh, what the hell?
On his BlackBerry. Thanks, Tony.
By another ombudsman.
That's going to be the most Googled word after this. And Peggy, thanks for abusing us.
Yeah.
Honestly, my hats off to her for like going public on that kind of stuff, because obviously when you do that, there's somebody out there who's like probably going through it or went through it, and it's helping them. And I loved her speech, how, you know, she wasn't like in your face Academy, but like, you know, people have not. I mean, it was Sidney Poitier, and then there was like 20 years between him and Denzel Washington. Sure. You know what I mean?
Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? These people have won a lot.
The White House. Leave it alone.
You know what I liked about the speeches this time, though, this one telecast, was that nobody went up there and went, oh, I didn't think I was going to win. I didn't prepare a speech.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Fake unpreparedness?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if anybody would have won other than Bridges, Monique, Vault, and Bullock,
they probably would have
seen
prepared
some fun for you. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you people? I didn't write anything.
Morgan Freeman would have been like, no way.
Yeah.
Exactly. He just walked out. Mail it to me.
I will say this. Out of all of the best actor, best actress, when they bring the people out and stroke them, the Tim Robbins one was hilarious.
That was
funny. Yeah. But everything else was like, I mean, some of the statements were...
I disagree, because I thought the best moment of the night was Colin Farrell talking about Jeremy Renner. I just found it to be... He really looked like someone who was happy for a friend.
Yeah.
Everybody else is there, and they're phony, and they're taffeta, and they're fucking bullshit, and they're homecoming queen gowns, and they're all stroking each other off. But he really genuinely looked happy for his friend. And it was I really thought that was great.
Yeah. And it was cool, because it was like, hey, man, everyone else was like, when we did this other great film that you've all heard, he's like, when we were did SWAT, I'm like, wow, that's bold.
Exactly. Now, wait a minute.
They got a production still from SWAT up there. I'm like, man.
Now, was Colin Firth on the It Factor?
Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell? Was he on The It Factor?
The It Factor? No, he wasn't.
No, it's the Jeremy Renner.
What's The It Factor?
It Factor was a reality show for actors.
That Renner was on.
That Renner was on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were talking about it last time. It's probably not in his press kit.
True.
And he was in there as a reality show for actors auditioning.
That's great.
But it was, I don't remember what channel it was on. Stephanie brought it up at the last show. But yeah, it's good to see that actually it happens every once in a while. These poor guys.
Well, any other final thoughts here?
It still needs to be shorter. Every year they say it's going to be shorter, and every year it isn't. Just make it shorter. That's all you have to do.
I don't mind the length as long as it's good. If it's too indulgent for them, and they you know,
wouldn't
like
they
said,
go hand in hand though? If it's shorter, it's probably going to be better.
Honestly, though, but I agree with Mike. If it was 4 hours of like really interesting clips and like. I love the retrospectives. I love seeing because it is the like, hey, this is the history of this
medium
in this business.
I would agree with you, but I think it's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point.
I think they can't make it 4 hours compelling. I think if you make it 2.5 to 3 hours compelling, I think that's possible.
If you cut out all the breakdancing and all that.
But they never do that.
Yeah,
every year they never do that.
But I would cut those out and trim the fat on those. But then, like I said, I would get the best musical people to... Well, first of all, I would let the people who sang the songs for the movies sing the songs.
Like they've done in the past.
That's a crazy idea.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, have those people out there to do it. Because remember, they weren't going to let that duo from... The name of the film escapes me, but they were the real life couple from the Irish film just 2 years ago or a year ago.
I don't remember, but they
weren't going to let them do it. And then there was an outrage, like, really? And then they wound up winning, you know, the best song. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, it goes back to Phil Collins and Ann Rankin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Phil Collins sat in the audience and watched somebody else sing his song. It's ridiculous, the decisions that they make. So,
I know.
And it's funny because the guy who, took over the Oscars.
Phil Collins in a corner.
One of the reasons they took over the Oscars this time was one of the guys from So You Think You Can Dance. So that has to be one of the reasons why we had 900 fucking dance segments tonight.
Right.
You know, one of the guys is a producer from that show. So,
and the answer is no.
Yeah.
No, you can't dance.
Yeah.
Please take it off my Academy Awards.
Any other... It was good. You know, it wasn't...
Yeah, hopefully you enjoyed the live tweet as well.
Yeah. It was a good, decent year in films. The year before, 2008 was an amazing year in films.
Yeah.
This year was decent, and I was overall it was okay. I mean, I watch the Oscars every year. I like
so
it.
So am I, and you I'll know. Bitch about it every year.
Yeah.
I'm a lady. I am a lady.
In other words, we will see you next year, right here.
Well, Mike Schmidt, any final thoughts on the Academies?
No, we've talked about it. I think it needs to be changed, but I don't mind the length as long as it's good.
Okay.
And congratulations to, I mean, nobody cares, but I'm glad they won. I wish Tarantino and Bastards would have won something more. I'm glad Hurt Locker won. It was fucking amazing, so it deserved it.
Oh, one final thought I'd want to say. They actually highlighted short films a little bit more this time, and I think that was huge and really important.
I will say this, you know, I for all of the, like, oh, it's an old country club, the Academy has always, like, and they did, like you said, they did it more this year, but they've always given short films and documentaries, they've always given them acknowledgement.
The props they deserve.
And, and especially in the documentary category, they've brought films, a lot of times with documentaries, they get nominated and or they win, and then they start getting a wider theatrical release.
Right.
And the Academy, you know, the Oscars helped people get more knowledgeable about those subject matters. And that's like Born into Brothels is a great example of that. I didn't know anything about it until the Oscars. And so that was great. Like, and like you say, it's great that they're promoting short films.
They're making a little more progress, which is good. Short films are getting the credit. Now, all we need now is a comedy category. Really,
yeah,
to give comedy a little respect.
Get a comedy category, because it's like, you know, all those amazing actors up there, you know, Sean Penn, whatever, George Clooney, they couldn't stand on a stage and make people laugh. You know what I mean? Like, they couldn't just
do it. There are a lot of comedians on the stage.
Yeah, there's a lot of comedians on the stage.
But not for comedy.
Right.
You know, they were doing dramatic roles or something else, presenting.
And like, anytime a smart comedy gets any sort of accolades, it's because it's got some sort of heartstring moments in it, and they're like, oh, it's a dramedy. Like, they won't even they won't even give it its full due, and it's like, that's a comedy. That was a comedy. It made you laugh from front to back. That's a comedy. Yeah. You know?
Up in the Air was originally going to be a complete comedy. Then they added the drama.
Yeah, and getting back to the telecast, it's funny, we talk about how they got to change it and go one way or the other. Well, they try to put in, every year they're like, hey, we'll put a little youth in there to try to wake people up, and they had Miley Cyrus come out. But that's their problem. They bring out Miley Cyrus and make her wear a gown from the 20s and play their game.
Yeah.
They don't. That doesn't inject
without
any
the
youth.
Hannah Montana wig.
Exactly. That's just some 18-year-old in an upswept hairdo. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't relate any youth to anyone. However, to pair her with Amanda Seyfried, and then they giggled and laughed like little kids because they got lost on the prompter and stuff. I was like, this is another real moment that's happening.
Right.
You know, they weren't so staid and you know, crossed arms and staring, you know, blithely waiting for Carl Malden's death announcement. You know, they had a little, you know, kick to it.
And which is exactly what we were doing here at Graham's house.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
So I just, they always think they're injecting youth, but their idea of injecting youth is taking youth and making it play dress up. And I think it's a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, it is like...
Well said.
Get the kids dressed up and have them come down to the club.
Yeah, exactly, dude. That's who it is. You know, you'll like the club. Come on up. No, I won't.
Better put more tea on.
Yeah. I don't know which fork to use. They're serving pate. Get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in this.
I don't know what a highball is, Grandpa.
I'm looking forward to finding out, though.
Yeah. Well, all right. Mike, anything to plug?
I plug the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, available on iTunes, and that's also at MikeSchmidtComedy.com. Hey, you know what? I'm also on Paul Goebel's latest podcast, which you can download today, I believe. So go ahead and download Paul Goebel Show, but always the 40-Year-Old Boy every week in iTunes.
And you've got a new website coming up.
It hasn't been announced yet.
Oh, sorry.
No, it hasn't happened.
I'm relaunching MikeSchmidtComedy.com, and hopefully it'll be cool. And I think that's all I got.
And you're on Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You can follow me at twitter.com/the40yearoldboy. You can follow me at become my friend at facebook.com/the40yearoldboy. And, yeah, always, please, go ahead and follow me. And thanks to you guys, man. I appreciate – I've never live-Twittered anything. And so I always wondered about the function of why to do Twitter. And then tonight I think I sent about 150 of those.
Nice.
So, I mean, thank you so much for having me.
And also we'll look for Mike Schmidt's new articles. We're going to have some new articles on the site.
Michael has been –
I always love it when Mike writes for us.
Michael has been busy, so he hasn't written anything new. But also, in the meantime, go to the archive section and get up to speed on anything that Mike's written. A great Dark Knight review that came out when that movie came out, obviously, and many other things. Chris, what else?
We've got our live show coming up March 16th.
March 16th at the Improv in Hollywood, 8162 Melrose at 8:30. Tickets are $5 as Matt Weinholt, Jimmy Dore.
And Avi Lieberman.
And the short films are?
The short films are Fish Out of Water and The Apologist.
Yeah, and we do giveaways at the live show.
We sure do. We got a lot of stuff we're going to give away.
Boom. And, of course, visit our store. We appreciate you guys listening. All we ask is maybe spend $20 once a year.
Yeah,
keep this going.
Yeah, and you get something shipped right to your house.
Yeah, right into your face.
Someone else's house.
Yeah.
Whatever, whosever house you want, yeah, or into their face as
and,
well.
And when you do it, you are supporting independent artists, like people like Mike Schmidt and Jackie Cation and Doug Benson and Matt Weinhold.
And Stephanie Wilder-Taylor. In fact, we have a contest going now, if you can just figure out who should play Stephanie in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the message boards right now. And Stephanie, we're giving away 3 signed and personalized books.
I go Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Somebody already did The Ghost Whisperer Girl.
Oh.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. But so please, put your there's 3 free books coming your way, so give us your ideas.
Check it. Catherine Keener.
Catherine Keener. Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Except she's about 20 years older than Stephanie, but...
Yeah.
So, you know, it's who who and why.
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Done.
Carl Malden. okay, I will be at Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas, March 9th through 11th with Doug Benson, and
we'll be
hanging out at it's a great club.
I love it.
Cap City Comedy Club is such a great club, and I'll be hanging out.
Town.
Austin's awesome. Yeah. I will keep it weird. And March, I believe 25 through 28, I'll be at Hyenas in Fort Worth, Texas, and then the first weekend in April, I will be April 1, 2, and 3 will be in Providence, Boston, and Chicopee, Massachusetts. Then the second weekend in April, I will be with Doug in Bend, Oregon, Portland, and Eugene. So check it out. I, of course, am on...
So if you have a stenographer sitting next to you...
Yeah, write all this down. Write all this down and put it into your brain. Yeah,
But it's also on the calendar, though, on the Comedy Film Nerds site.
It's on the Comedy Film Nerds calendar. Go to the message boards. And, of course, I am at Graham Elwood at Twitter and Graham Elwood at Facebook and MySpace.
Sounds good. And I'm actually at MYOPPROD. Wait, that's wrong. That's Twitter.
Wow. Don't even know your own
myopic
handle.
Prod. MYOP. I see. Thank you. PROD. Too much cold medication.
wow, and you're not even sick.
Yeah.
Creep.
He's Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Scissorp. I'm bringing Scissorp to the Home Delicat.
Scissorp.
And if you have a new dad in your life, or you are a new dad, please buy Pacify Me, a handbook for the freaked out new dad. I will sign and personalize it for you from comedyfilmnerds.com.
Outstanding. Thanks for listening to our special Oscar wrap-up. We will be doing our next episode in about a week or so.
Yep, and who's the guest, Graham?
That's going to be Chris Hardwick from the Nerdist podcast and G4.
G4.
Yeah, and watch me and Doug Benson on the High Road in G4 whenever that's on. All right, thanks a lot for listening. I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and thanks to our guest,
Mike Schmidt.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Remember, Han shot first.